I want to focus on a little thought out of this verse. And Jesus said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in the field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy therefore goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth all the field. I'm sorry, buyeth all that he hath, and buyeth the field. Eyes are a little crisscrossed today. I do apologize. The primary part, though, we want to look at here today is the fact that this man found treasure in a field. I want to deal here today on this thought of hid treasure. Hid treasure. Father in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We do pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this day. And we ask you, Father, please to help us, Lord, to present the sermon here today the way that you'd have for us to. That everyone here will be able to get what you've got for us in the sermon. We pray, Father, for our brothers and sisters there in Ukraine, for your protection for them. And that this war will end quickly and that the Russian army will go back to their borders as quickly as possible. But we do pray, Lord, for your holy will to be done. And we're certainly looking forward to that blessed day when Jesus comes and takes us out of here. Looking forward to that. But at the moment, though, Lord, we do pray that for your help to go about doing what you'd have for us to do. Guide these lips of clay, Father, that I would say nothing more or less than what you'd have for me to say today. In the precious name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As I began to think about the sermon here, I got to thinking about this little joke that I had heard. I thought it kind of appropriate, so I wanted to share it with you here. And perhaps during the course of the sermon, we'll all understand why in the world I'm bringing it up. But it seems that there was this church that elected a new pastor. And this new pastor came in and he decided that for Sunday school, he wanted to go around and observe the various Sunday school classes and see what all was going on there. And he went to the real little ones and saw how their class was. Oh, this is good. The next group up, this is good. Got to that preteen class. And he's in there and it just the way that the Sunday school teacher is presenting the lesson, and the kids look a little lost. He's a little concerned about them. And so he says, hey, I got a question for you. And as a matter of fact, I got a $10 bill right here in my hand for someone who can give me the answer to this question. So everybody immediately perked up, Brother Howard, I'm telling you. And he says, who knocked down the walls of Jericho? And everybody's just sitting here looking at each other. The Sunday school teacher is noticeably panicking because she can't think of who it was. It's like, oh man. And the pastor's looking and he's wanting a response and no one responds. He says, well, maybe that'll be your Sunday school lesson for next week. Put the money back in his pocket and he walked out. Well, he's heading over toward the kitchen area, wants to grab a quick cup of coffee, and the head deacon is standing there, also drinking coffee. And he goes to the head deacon and says, man, we got problems here, And the head deacon's like, well, what do we got problems for? And the pastor says, nobody knows who knocked down the walls of Jericho. And the head deacon put his arm around the pastor and he says, preacher, don't you worry about it. We've got more than enough money in the bank to fix those walls. It's a wonderful joke. It got some of us laughing, and I'm very happy that you laughed. Thank you. But it was that last part there where the head deacon wasn't worried about saying, pastor, well, come on, you know, they just had a brain cramp, and we all know it was Joshua and the Israelites marched around and God knocked down the walls. It was the head deacon saying, don't worry, we've got the money in the bank. We can fix the problem. We can throw money at it. Money is the solution to the problem. Whatever the problem is, we'll throw money at it and we will fix it. And as I began to study here for the sermon, and Lord, what would you have me to preach? I kept having that one thought, that one phrase come back to mind that I had heard too many times. Don't misunderstand me. We've got money in the bank. And I've heard it in so many places over the years. And so many people have said it both in their private lives and in their professional lives and in their church lives. And people, oh, we've got money, we've got money. And but what about having God? Well, what about having the Lord's will done in our lives? Too often, too many people, they've got the money in the bank, and what happens when they die? Someone else inherits it. We're looking at this passage of Scripture here, and Jesus is giving this parable, and someone has gone out into this field, and they're looking around, and something has caught their eye, and they've looked, and it's like, what is that? And they dug a little bit, and they found money. Now, this was in a day and an age before there are banks. People would take and hide their money in a jar and then go bury it in their backyard somewhere. They would have a field. They'd go bury it in the field somewhere. And if they forget where it's at, well, congratulations, you've got money. You ain't got a clue where it is. I heard about a fellow several years back who bought Bitcoin. This online currency stuff. And he bought it when it was really, really, really cheap, Miss Betty. And found out one day that, that's right, I had bought like 1,000 shares of it or whatever. And he checked how much Bitcoin was valued at the time. And it turned out his $1,000 investment in buying Bitcoin was now worth several millions of dollars. He's an instant millionaire, a multi-millionaire. This is wonderful. The problem is Bitcoin is stored on an electronic wallet on your computer's hard drive. He previously, some months before, had took and changed out the hard drive in his computer and threw the old hard drive out. And the only way you can access the Bitcoin currency is literally you've got to have that electronic wallet. He tore the landfill apart the best he could, never was able to find that hard drive. So there's a landfill out there with millions of dollars of Bitcoin in it right now. Hid treasure. Poof. Completely useless. Not gonna help anybody. Money in the bank, property all around. I know of churches that have so much property all around them. If times are hard, they're selling off pieces of property. He says, that's okay. We are going to make it because we've got property to continue to sell. God obviously provided it for such a time as this. Really, was that the plan that God had originally? Or did man get in the way? I'm sorry if I'm being contradictory this morning, being negative. I don't mean to be hurtful. I'm simply bringing what the Lord has laid on my heart. Because we all make plans. And God just sits there and laughs. That's not going to come to fruition for you. Yeah, I see what you're doing over there, but you're completely wrong. Other times God's like, yes, you're spot on. That's exactly what I want you to do. See, it's good to have money in the bank. It's bad to sit here and say, I'm going to depend upon this when we're supposed to be depending upon God. That God will supply all our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, maybe He's already made provision by having the money in the bank. Maybe He's already had provision made by having property all available. Maybe He's already had provision by having hundreds of people in here or having only two people in here. God knows what He's doing, but we are supposed to be following His holy will. Amen. That's when we get into trouble, when we stop following His will. We stop growing. We soon forget who knocked down the walls of Jericho. We soon forget who it is that has brought us this far. We soon forget who it is that has took care of us. Because we start focusing in on the wrong things. I want you to notice a few types of treasure here today. Number one is the rainy day treasure. Now, rainy day fund is a good thing to have. Anybody who has any sort of intelligence about them will say it's good to have some money in the bank in case of emergencies. There's a lot of people out there who specialize in telling you how to go about saving your money. And they'll tell you, you need to have X number of days worth of money in the bank in case something happens. Great, it's called an emergency day fund. The refrigerator suddenly goes out. You want to have the money to replace it before your vittles go bad, don't you? Yeah. The Bible talks about having rainy day treasure. Proverbs 21 verse 20. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. But a foolish man spendeth it up. Proverbs 27, 12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. Rainy day funds, rainy day treasure, that type of hid treasure, that type of money in the bank. God says, yes, that's what I want my people to have there. I want you to understand, I have provided for you. Take care of what I have provided for you. Amen. When we stop following God, we get into trouble. I can't say that often enough. And God says, hey, I want you to have X number of dollars in the bank. Make sure you got X number of dollars in the bank. But there's also a rescue treasure. Notice with me here that this is for the long haul. And sometimes we get, Brother Howard, into a long haul situation. We need something to be able to get us through. Hey, man, it may take months before a pastor comes in. It's already been months. But let me tell you something. A church that has prepared, that has put the money in the bank the way that God intends for it to be done, they're going to have a rescue treasure to be able to get through until the Lord has the next provision that is ready for you. I'm going to be honest with you. I think God's going to have another rescue treasure ready for you when the time is right. He's going to have the next fund when the time is right. So long as we're dependent upon Him. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8 talks about, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Check out what the ant is doing. The ant spends the harvest time harvesting, storing away food because winter is long. We found that out this morning, didn't we? 67 yesterday, today, make sure that jacket's back on. Winter's still here. We want to stay warm. We want to stay healthy. We want to stay fed. Praise God. Make sure you're ready for that long haul the Lord would have for you to do. Psalm 27 verse 13 and 14 said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Don't run out and hire the first guy to be pastor that comes along. So, well, obviously he came along, so this is who God wants. No, you make sure you got the right one that God wants. He's going to make sure His rescue treasure lasts the necessary amount of time. But don't look to that treasure. Don't look to people. Look to Him. He's the only one that matters. We start looking around to each other. What happens? We start fighting with one another. We start shouting at one another. We start getting ready to, don't look at me that way, I'll knock you out. Look to Him. You know what happens when we look to Him? Our troubles are down here. They're not up there where He is. We look to Him. Guess what? We ain't worried about the situation. We ain't worried about what's going on around us. We're worried about, Lord, what do You want me to do? How can I please You? But I want you to know, these first two are wonderful things. These first two are important things for anyone, your household or your church. These are important things to do. But there's a slippery slope that we all must be careful of. our personal lives, our church lives, our family lives, our work lives, our prayer lives, anything. We've got to be careful of the reliance treasure. The reliance treasures will be okay because of the treasure. Who supplied the treasure? Well, preacher, we did. We made sure to tithe. No, who supplied the treasure? God did. But I've seen a lot of churches out there. They say, we've got this money in the bank. And you know what happens? They don't even realize that it's all been frittered away and they're now having to close their doors because they relied on the hid treasure instead of relying on the one who gave them the treasure. All gone. Luke chapter 16, verse number 10. Jesus gave the parable and He said, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. We have to be careful around the temptation to rely on the treasure instead of relying upon God. Because once we start doing it, we're going to find ourselves slipping down and slipping down. And next thing you know, we're falling down. We're tumbling down. And we're knocking ourselves out. We're knocking everybody down around us, trying to get back up, trying to stop ourselves from falling, trying to keep from being destroyed. And when we come to the crashing to the bottom of the hill, we look back up and there's wreckage all around us, rubble all around us, fire raging. Well, I didn't mean it, but you took one step too far with the reliance treasure. It's a temptation. It seeks to drag us out, to get us out of our comfort zone with the Lord, to make us comfortable with it. By the way, that's not just money either. That's work. Well, I gotta have money to pay the bills. I gotta have money to have a roof over my head. I guess I can just go ahead and work on Sunday. I'm feeling so alone. I need somebody. Doesn't anybody love me? Oh, you're expressing love in me? Well, fine, we'll just go ahead and get together that way. I found a different form of treasure. Treasure comes in any sort of variety, church. You know, whatever it is that you are seeking after instead of God, that's your treasure. Where your heart is, there will your treasure be. Also, the Bible tells us. I got treasure in the bank. I've been married to this person for the last 30 years. One retires and all of a sudden they can't stand each other because they're both together at the same time and they got to suddenly divorce. Seen that happen too many times. Started relying on the wrong things, church. I want you to know that after that slippery slope, it is all downhill because you end up with the rebellious treasure. Now, this isn't so much about money or property. Certain members getting in the way. They're not doing what we want. They get mad, take their ball and go home. No thought about what God wants. No worrying. No. What, should we even pray about this? Y'all know the situation here. I ain't telling you nothing new. A lot of people get a hold of that rebellious treasure in their heart because they are number one. Their desires is all that matters. They're not worried about anybody else. They're just worried about themselves. Again, Mark chapter 6, 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want. I'll do it my way. I did it my way is the anthem of hell. I did it my way. Realty is the sign that gets hung outside of churches, gets hung outside of homes, hung outside of businesses, hung on cars. Because I did it my way. No thought about God. No thought about our brothers and sisters, our husbands, our wives, our kids. No thought about anybody else but me. Runs into problems. But I want you to know, church, That while, yeah, all of this is kind of looking down, kind of gloom and doom. Oh, boy. 180 degrees from last time, preacher. How soon are you going to be done so we can get out of here and say we don't ever want you back? I want you to know there's one more treasure. That's the righteous treasure. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Jesus is giving the disciples' prayer. We often call it the Lord's Prayer. This wasn't Jesus' prayer. This is just the model prayer that He gave to His disciples. But in it, there's this one line. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God's will is always done in heaven. God tells an angel to go stand in the corner for the next 1,000 years. That angel's going to go stand in the corner for the next 1,000 years with a smile on his face because he knows he's obeying God. God tells us to go walk across the street and hand out a tract. We're like, but God, I'd have to cross the street then. I got a tract in my pocket, but it's a little crinkly. It ain't good enough for them. But God, I've got to get going. God's will is not always done. But when it is done, when we do say, I know what, I'm going to put all my feelings aside. I'm going to put my desires aside. I'm going to put my wants to the side. And God, I'm going to focus on Your will and Your will alone. No matter how hard it is, no matter how painful it is, no matter how much somebody may step on my toes, no matter how much it may put me out of my comfort zone, I'm going to follow You, God. We're going to find the greatest hidden treasure of all. A treasure that so many of our own brothers and sisters will never access because they cannot get past themselves. Their traditions, their desires, their denomination, their brand of religion. Their family has been at this church for the last 100 years. Therefore, they are the ones who are supposed to call all the shots. And they get to where God says, I can be your God if you'll just follow me. And they say, lead me, Lord, and I will follow and mean it. See, that there's a huge difference right there. So many times we'll sing that song, lead me, Lord, but we don't actually mean it. But if you ever want to see that righteous treasure, you're going to have to follow. If you want to see this church begin to thrive again like I know it can, and I know you know it can, everyone is going to have to follow what He'd have for us to do. Go knock on doors. Go be making phone calls, inviting people to church. Get excited about coming to church. Let God know just how happy you are to get to come here. Most people, they come in, they punch that time clock. They walked in, click, click, 11 o'clock. All right, preacher, you're getting a little long. I got to get out of here by noon. All right, noon, whether you're done or not, click, click, I'm out. Guess what? God ain't going to interrupt no service where we're worried about that time clock instead of worrying about Him. Amen. He wants to give us the righteous treasure that so many have hidden away from themselves. But it ain't money in the bank. It ain't who's here, what clothes you're wearing, what kind of car you drive. It ain't if the pews are padded or not. The righteous treasure is only going to be accessed by following God. I've got just one question in closing for you today. Are we going to leave our treasure out in the field for someone else to eventually come across? Or are we going to follow God and claim it? Claim what He's got for us. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. And I do pray, Lord, for Your blessings upon this day. And we do ask You, Father, please, for each and every one that is here. Help us, Lord, please, to be obedient to You, to follow Your holy will. Yeah, there are times when it's not going to be fun. But we understand it's what we need to do. It's what we need, and it only comes from You. Help us, Lord, please, to be willing to follow You. Because without You, it ain't going to work. Thank You, Lord, for loving us and saving us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. If you please stand and turn over to page 307. I believe in giving an altar call. Whether anybody wants to come or not, that's up to you. Feel you need to come or not, it's up to you. Maybe you just would like to come and say thank you to God. That's great. After all, we're made in His image, and I know I like when my daughter says thank you to me. So I know He likes when I say thank you to Him. Page 307.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Oh, I come. Verse 2. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Oh, I